All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Exciting daf of Gemara ahead of us today. Today's daf is Samech Vav, 66. We are picking up Samech Hem Beis, 65b. So let's just take a quick look. I know we did it yesterday, but let's just begin from Samech Hem Beis, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom, just by the Tan Rabbanim. We did this case, but let's just, we'll go through it quickly. Tan Rabbanim, Sinor, Shechakaku Olabasov Kabu. So we'll say if you have a Tsinor, which means a pipe, or a gutter that was hollowed out. In other words, we'll say, so you take a piece of wood, you hollow it out, you make it into a pipe or into a gutter that was hollowed out and then attached to the ground. So the halacha is posel as hamikvah. It goes ahead and it posels the mikvah. On the other hand, kavu ulabasov chakaku, if you attach the piece of wood to the ground and then hollowed it out, so it was hollowed out once it was already attached, then what is the halacha? Eino posel es hamikvah. It does not go ahead and invalidate the mikvah. So we'll say, remember again, by way of introduction yesterday, we discussed the idea that for a mikvah, mayim shuv and drawn water has the ability to invalidate a mikvah. Now the definition of drawn water, as we see from this brisa, is you could have rainwater, but if rainwater goes through a kli, goes through a utensil, that renders it mayim shuvin and could potentially go ahead and undermine the kashrus of the mikvah. So the Gemara says the following. Therefore, what the brisa seems to be saying is, if you take something that is a kli, like this tsinor, even if you attach it to the ground, it still retains its identity as a kli. Therefore, if water runs through it, that water is called mayim shuvin, drawn water. Mikvah is pasul. On the other hand, if you take just the materials, and you finish and you attach it to the ground, and you make it into a kli while it's attached to the ground, then what? That's considered mechubal karka. That's part of the earth, that's part of the ground, and will not invalidate the mikvah as a result of being a kli. So says the Gemara. Money. Whose opinion does this price reflect? Lo Rabbi Eliezer, but lo Rabbanon. Both says reflects neither the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer nor the Rabbanon. Now why not? Hey Rabbi Eliezer. So which Rabbi Eliezer are we referring to? Ilema Rabbi Eliezer Debayis. So if you want to say it's Rabbi Eliezer concerning the house, as was quoted in the Brisa, both remember again, Rabbi Eliezer said, Kala mechubar lekarka kikarka dami. Now remember, Rabbi Eliezer was saying that in the context of a home, that if you sell a home, anything that is attached to the ground is considered to be part of the bayis itself. So the Gemara is suggesting this price by the mikvah clearly does not reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, what should be the halacha, Rabbi Osai? If you go ahead and you take a tsinor, a hollowed out piece of wood that is now a pipe, and you attach it to the ground, and water runs through it, what should be the halacha? It should be kosher, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because the maisa, anything that's attached to the ground, is considered, again, part of the ground itself. So clearly, it doesn't reflect the Rabbi Eliezer, but maybe not. Dilma, haynu tam de Rabbi Eliezer, mishum mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher, v'ravonan sabri mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher. Well, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Osei, holds that call him a chuber lekarka kekarka dummy is why. Maybe that's a function ultimately of mocher ba'ayin yafa. Maybe that's the function over here. Maybe it's mocher ba'ayin yafa. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer holds that when you sell, you have the most expansive view of this. When you sell with an expansive mindset, and therefore anything attached to the ground is included in the sale itself. But maybe Rabbi Eliezer would agree. Lemaisa said that by a mikvah, if it was originally a kli, even if it's attached to the ground, it doesn't lose its identity as a kli, and therefore invalidates the mikvah. To which the Gemara says, Ella Rabbi Eliezer de kaveres dvorim. So rather, again, it has to be Rabbi Eliezer of the beehive. Kaveres dvorim, we'll say, is a beehive. Now take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Kaveres dvorim, mechuberes ibekarka betit. Now we'll say, this is talking about like a man-made beehive. So you go ahead, you make the beehive, and they would then attach it to the ground with some type of mortar. So watch this. So what does Rabbi Eliezer say? This time, we learned, Kaveres Devorim, we'll say, if you have a beehive, Rabbi Eliezer Omeharehi Kikarka, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's like earth. In other words, we'll say, the fact that the beehive is attached to the ground gives it what? The status of karka. Now how does that manifest itself? Next, the Kosvin Ale Prusbo. So we'll say, so what that means, on a practical level, is the following. Shemitah comes along and cancels out all debts. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? There's something called the prusbol. The Rashbam goes into this in Arichos, but we'll just tell you this outside. So the halacha is by Prozbo. So Hillel saw that as the Shemitah year was approaching, people stopped lending money, right? Because they remember again, Jewish lending, halachic lending in general, is not a very profitable business because of the inability to go ahead and charge interest. Fine, but it's a chesed to lend another Jew money, so that's what we do. Come Shemitah, literally everything is wiped out. So Hillel saw, and understandably so, people were reticent to lend money as the Shemitah year approached. So as a result, Hillel developed a mechanism called a prosbol, where essentially, again, a person hands over their debts to Beis Din. Shemitah only cancels personal debts, does not cancel debts held by Beis Din. And therefore, again, the debt remains collectible even after the Shemitah year. The halacha by prosbol says that prosbol must be secured by karka. In other words, that there must be some land to back up that debt. It could be a very small amount of land, but it must be some amount of land. So Rabbi Eliezer is just saying over here, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Lamaisa, if you have a beehive, that is enough for prosbol purposes. Dab of Samech Vav. Ve'eino mekabelas tuma. Furthermore, Rabbi will say, a beehive is not mekabel tuma. So why is a beehive not mekabel tuma? Look at the Rashbam and Samech Vav. Ve'eino mekabelas tuma. Zua kaveres bimkoma. Techeva ne mechuberes yi karka. Yatsami Toras Kli. So we'll say ultimately again, because it is attached to the ground. Remember, earth is not Mekabel Tuma. Earth is not Mekabel Tuma. Therefore, again, because this beehive is attached to the earth, therefore it is not Mekabel Tuma. He goes on, Vigama Dvasha Besucha, Eino Mekabel Tuma, Debatal Agave Kaber. So we'll say not only that, but the honey that's inside of it is also not Mekabel Tuma. Why? Because the honey itself is bottled to the beehive. Gemara goes on. V'harodem mena b'shavis chayiv chatos. And I will say, if you go ahead and you remove honey from it on Shabbos, you are chayiv chatos. And I will say, what are you chayiv chatos for? You're chayiv chatos ultimately again because you have violated the malacha of kotzer. Any time you uproot something from the ground, from the place where it grows, you are in violation of the malacha of ktsira. So we'll say all of this is just logical extensions, one of the other. Once you hold that a beehive is considered to be attached to the ground, therefore what? If you write it, you could write a prosbol on it. It's not mekabel tuma. And if you detach part of it on Shabbos, you have violated the malach of ketzira. The definition of the malach of kotzer is oker davar mimokum gidulo. You are uprooting something from the place where it grows, and therefore you will be chayy for that. The chum say, no, eno ki karka. The chachamim disagree. They say the beehive is not like karka, and therefore again, the inkos finalea prosbol. Therefore again, you can't write a prosbol, meaning it's not considered to be land, and therefore it can't be used for a prosbol. Or mekabelos tuma, and it is mekabel tuma, Rabbi said, because it is considered to be an object and not karka. Mekabelos tuma mkoma, varod de memena b'shabbes pater. And if one goes ahead and removes some of the honey on Shabbos, then one is going to be pater. So Rabbi said, the Gemara suggests the following. Oh, we see over here that essentially, what does Rabbi Eliezer hold? Rabbi Eliezer holds that an object that is mechuber lekarka is considered like what? Karka. And therefore, again, clearly, the Mishnah by Mikvah, or the Braisa by Mikvah, does not reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Because you must remember again, in the Mikvah case, what are we saying? That if you have an object that is a kli, and you attach that kli to the ground, and the water runs through it. So again, the mikvah's puzzle, what does that show you? That shows you that even if you take a kli and attach it to the ground, it still has the status of a kli. So even if something is mechuber lekarka, it's not kekarka. The Gemara suggests this brisa of the mikvah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Which Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer of the beehive. Because Rabbi Eliezer of the beehive holds that again, anything that is mechuber lekarka does become like karka. To which the Gemara says, well, one second. Maybe the beehive case is different. Hasam ki da amar Rabbi Eliezer, taima dam Rabbi Lazar, excuse me. Hasam ki da amar Rabbi Lazar. We'll say, Rabbi Lazar explains Rabbi Eliezer, two different people. Rabbi Lazar is Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, Bar Pedas. So Rabbi Lazar explains the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Da amar Rabbi Lazar, my taima de Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Lazar says, what's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? Dichsiv. In other words, we'll say, why is it that Rabbi Eliezer holds that a beehive that is attached to the ground is considered to be like karka? So we'll say, we automatically assume that the reason for that is kala mechubra lekarka kikarka dami. Anything that is attached to the ground is like the ground. The Rabbi Elazar is suggesting that no, Rabbi Elazar has a different shita. Kedechsev vayitpal osa bayaras hadvash. He dipped his staff, literally about say, in the yaras hadvash. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The Rashbam says, Hachi gasina hasam, I'm Rabbi Elazar, my time is Rabbi Elazar. The chosh of the kaveras tvorim kimuchubar dechsev vayitpal osa bayaras hadvash. Beyahonasan ksev obidvash bamokum giduli maris. So also listen to this. Remember, this is the Navi spoke about this story in Shmuel Aleph. So what happens? Shaul, they're at war, and Shaul tells the army, essentially, no one's allowed to eat until we vanquish the enemy. And he says, whoever eats before we vanquish the enemy is liable to death. Yehonasan, who is Shaul's son, does not know of this directive of his father. And what does he do? He's out also fighting. He sees some honey. He dips his staff into the honey and eats the honey. So we'll say, listen to this. So Rabbi Eliezer notes that it's interesting that the Navi refers to the honey as Yaras Devash. Yaras Devash. Now Yaras Devash literally translates as a forest of honey. Forest of honey. So with those deductions, what do we learn from here? Mayar. Hatolish mimenu b'shabes chayin. The assumption is, where is he getting honey from? A beehive. Right? That's the assumption, a beehive. I just want to point out, you know, interestingly enough, like when we speak about Eretz Yisrael being an Eretz Chalav u'Devash, so remember again, the Devash that the Torah refers to is not bee honey, it's date honey. Interestingly enough. So again, we're used to more here, bee honey. But again, Eretz Yisrael, in any event, here is actually talking about bee honey. So where do you get bee honey from? You get bee honey from a beehive. So says the Ezra Darshans. So therefore, the Navi goes out of its way to call a beehive a Ya'aras Devash. Why does it call it a Ya'aras Devash? So Rabbi Eliezer understands that the Torah is trying to teach us a lesson. What's the lesson? Ma'yar hatolish mimenu b'shabes chayiv chatos. Just like a yard, just like a forest, if one goes ahead and detaches from it on Shabbos, you are chayiv chatos. Af Devash haroda mimenu b'shabes chayiv chatos. So too Devash, so too honey. If you remove from it on Shabbos, you are chayiv echatos. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lamaisa, Rabbi Eliezer's shita by the beehive may not go ahead and may not be reflective of the view he would hold by mikvah. In other words, remember, we're trying to figure out this brisa of mikvah. And the Gemara is suggesting that the brisa can't reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because we're also saying the brisa seems to say that even if something is attached to the ground, it doesn't have the din of karka. There seems to contradict the view of Rabbi Eliezer, because after we saw Rabbi Eliezer that once the beehive is attached to the ground, it's what? It's considered like karka. So we thought based on that, Rabbi Eliezer holds kol mechubar lekarka kekarka dami. To which the Gemara says maybe not. The beehive case is a little bit different. Why? Because the beehive case is actually based on a pasuk. That based on the pasuk, the beehive itself is treated like the yar, is treated ultimately, again, like the forest. And just as the forest, if you detach a bit on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv. So to the beehive, you'll be chayiv. But lav dafka, because it's called mechubar lekarka, kekarka dami. Elo, Rabbi Eliezer didaf. Rather, we'll say it has to refer to Rabbi Eliezer of the daf. We'll say, which daf is this? This now, listen to this. Daf shal nachtumin shekavu bakosal. So we'll say, if you take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment, daf shal nachtumin. So literally what this means is a baker's board. A baker's board. What does this mean, a baker's board? Take a look at the Rashbam. Daf shal nachtumin. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Daf shal nachtumin, says the Rashbam, neser rachav la'aruch alav velolush es hapas. So we'll say, this was a large board to go ahead and arrange the dough on it and to knead the dough. Belimira hudaf shekavua bakosel litin alav es hapas limkar kein sheosef halterin shalana bakosel batemi bachutz. So we'll see. The Rashbam brings down two different opinions as to what this is. What we're calling it is a baker's board. What is a baker's board used for? So the Rashbam gives two opinions. Opinion number one Opinion number one is that it was the board upon which the dough was kneaded. Let's say, by the way, according to that, it could also serve as the board with which the bread is removed from the oven. Or the other possibility is that it represented almost like a shelf upon which the baker would display his wares and be able to sell the bread to the public. In any event, the Gemara tells us the following case. Imagine if you go ahead and you take this board, Shekavu Bakosel, and they went ahead and they made it part of the wall. They made it part of the wall. So we'll say, see, here's the Shaila. You take something, which is technically a Kli, and then Makabel Tuma, and now you're going to go ahead and build it into the wall of the home. Building it into the wall, again, makes it Mechubel LeKarka. Technically, if it's Mechubel LeKarka, then what? Then what? Then ultimately, again, it should not be Makabel Tuma. So says the Gemara. So what happens? Daf shana tuma shikav bakosel. If you go ahead and you take this baker's board and you build it into the wall, Rabbi Eliezer mitaher. Rabbi Eliezer says that it's tar. And if you look at the Rashbam, he says the chalam mekubel karka harikul karka. When he says it's tar, means it's no longer mekabel tuma. It is now a part of the structure, part of the ground, and therefore no longer mekabel tuma. Says the Gemara. So the chacham mitamin and the chachamim say no, that it's tamei. Rabbi say, now, why did the Chacham say it's Tamin? He says, Rashbam points out over here, the Chacham Mitamin, Dilobotil Legabe Karka. Because ultimately, again, it is not considered to be part of the Karka. Now, the Rashbam just points out over here, he says, now, if you were to build that baker's board into the wall, and plane it down, smooth it down, to make it part of the wall, then Enochinami, the Chachamim would agree also that it would become part of the structure. But just affixing it to the wall does not automatically make it part of the karka. So says the Gemara, money. So therefore, we'll say, so now let's take a step back. So we'll say, so now what we're suggesting is, now what do you see from this braisa? That Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if you affix something to a structure or to the ground, it is considered to be mechol karka. They call it mechol karka kikarka dami. So now I understand that the braisa by mikvah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, we'll say, if you took a tsinor and you attached it to the ground and may mikvah ran through it, what should be the halacha? To mikvah should be kosher. Why? Because that kli, now that it's attached to the ground, is considered to be like the karka. To which the Gemara says, okay, so money. So, whose opinion does the braisa by mikvah reflect? E Rabbi Eliezer. See if you want to say it's Rabbi Eliezer. Afilu chakiku ulubasov kavu. So we'll say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, see, both cases in the braisa should be okay. So we'll say, remember again how the braisa said that if you take the hollowed out pipe, the tzinor, and you attach it to the ground, so the mikvah is possible. But if you attach the wood to the ground and hollowed it out while it was attached to the ground, the mikvah is kosher. Says Gemara, I don't understand. If the braisa would reflect the view of Rabbi Eliezer, then what? Both of those cases should be good. Why? Because what's the most important thing according to Rabbi Eliezer? That at the end of the day, what? The tzinor is attached to the ground. As long as the tzinor is attached to the ground, whether it was attached as a pipe or it was attached as an unfinished piece of wood that you hollowed out when it was attached, either way, that should be absolutely fine. Rabbi Eliezer should be matar the mikvah in both cases. Irabanan, and if the braisa would reflect the view of the Rabbanan, afilu kavu ulubasov chakaku nami. According to the Rabbanan, they don't hold kala mechubar lekarka kikarka dami. And if that's the case, Rabbo say, even if you attach the unfinished piece of wood and hollowed out the wood once it was attached already to the ground, that would not satisfy the criteria of a mikvah. To which the Gemara says, the Olam Rabbi Eliezer he. So you're right, Rabbo say, so let's take a step back. In reality, says the Gemara, the Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Right, the Braisa of mikvah. How can that be? Rabbi Eliezer holds kol mechubar lekarka kikarka dami. To which the Gemara says v'shaini pshute kliyets. So we'll say, so here is the shaila. The shaila is if the braisa indeed reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. The olam Rabbi Eliezer svirle ki braisa detzinor shechakaka ulabasov kavo akati klihu v'lobatel gabi karka upasla samikva. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. The Rabbi Eliezer holds that by the case of the tzinor, if you took a pipe and you attached it to the ground, right, then even though you attached it to the ground, that pipe still retains its identity as a kli, and therefore if the main mikvah runs through it, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? The mikvah is pasul. But how does that shtim with what we just said over here by the baker's board? Because what's remembering? What did we just say about the baker's board? That according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you take the baker's board and you attach it to the wall of your house, then what? Then what? It becomes part of the house and therefore is not mekabel tumah. So what you're telling me is, by the baker's board, you're telling me that once you attach a kli to the karka, then what? It becomes like karka. But yet you told me by mikvah that even if you attach the kli to the karka, it's not like karka. So how do you reconcile the two cases? To which the Gemara says, it's not a kasha. V'shanei pshutei kliyetz, the tumah dirabanan. So to which Rabbi Eliezer responds, Rav Osai, remember, the baker's board, the baker's board is an interesting idea over here. Because the baker's board is what we call pshute kli'etz. Pshute kli'etz, Rav Osai, means literally flat wooden utensils. Remember, in order to go ahead and satisfy the real criteria of a kli, you have to have a receptacle. Right? If there's not a receptacle, then ultimately, again, it's not really a keli. But nevertheless, the chazal, the rabbanon, were gozer on what we call pshute kli'etz. Pshute kli'etz, ultimately, again, are wooden utensils without a receptacle. Wooden utensils without a receptacle are matami tumah dirabanan. So we'll say, so watch this. What the Gemara is therefore suggesting is the following. That normally Rabbi Eliezer holds, that I will say, once something has an identity as a kli, even if you subsequently attach it to the ground, it does not lose its identity as a kli. Therefore, in the mikvah case, if you take a tsinura pipe, which is already a kli, and you attach it to the ground, that's still called a kli. And therefore, when the water runs through it, that water becomes mayim shuvin, drawn water, and will invalidate the mikvah. So why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that by the case of the baker's board, if you build it into your wall, it's no longer mekabel tumah, which indicates to us that it is not a kli anymore, to which the Gemara answers, because the baker's board is different. The baker's board, to begin with, was only mekabel tumah midirabanan. Why? Because it's what's called pshutei kli'etz. It's what's called, ultimately, again, flat wooden utensils, which are only mekabel tumah midirabanan. So since, to begin with, it was only mekabel tumah midirabanan, therefore what? The act of building it into the home is enough to remove that rabbinic designation from it. To which the Gemara says, Mechlal, l'shiva daraisa, are you telling me that the disqualification of mayim she'uvin is a doraisa? That's not true. Vaha, we're going to have to jump back for just a moment. Vaha kaimalon tirabonam. B'yat Rabosei, we've established that the psul of mayim shuvah, of drawn water for a mikvah, is in fact what? A rabbinic disqualification. Now, what does this mean? Rabosei, now upon us, that's exceptionally bothersome, because that doesn't sound true. Meaning, the psul of mayim shuvah of drawn water for a mikvah, it's not a tirabonam, it's part of a doraisa. So what does it mean? Take a look at the Rashbam on Amud Aleph. Go back to Amud Aleph for just a moment. It's Rashbam about four lines in from where the lines get wide. Michlal the She'iva Daraisa. Midi Kamashani Haki Sham Inam Daraisa to Leel Bipsul She'iva Daraisa. My Vahlo Midrabanu Gidamim Sechasivabas. Listen to this, Bosai. Now, what's the case that the Gemara is referring to? Shem Haya Mikvah Mem Sa. Bosai, remember, the minimum measurement for a mikvah is 40 Sa. So imagine the following case. You have a mikvah that has 40 Sa of rainwater. V'nasan sa'a she'uvin, v'natal sa'a kashas. Well, so imagine the following situation. You have 40 sa'a of rainwater. Then what happens? You insert into the mikvah one sa'a of drawn water, and you remove one sa'a of the rainwater. So as well say, imagine you're introducing one sa'a of drawn water, and then you remove a sa'a from the mikvah. And you keep doing this. Ad kama, Rabbi Yochanan Amar ad rubo. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you do this until the majority of the mikvah, it's okay. So without getting into the intricacies over here, what the Gemara suggests is the following. We'll say, essentially, if you have a mikvah that is already a standing mikvah of 40 sa of rainwater, that mikvah is kosher to the point that even if you were to keep introducing drawn water and remove mikvah water, so the mikvah would still retain its validity. It's only dirabanan, we don't like you doing this. So says the Gemara, will say the following. Follow the train of thought over here. So the Gemara is suggesting, remember, that the braisa by mikvah reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer. The only problem we have with that, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer will hold, that if something is considered to be a kli, even if what? Even if you attach it to the ground, it still retains its identity as a kli. See, even if you go ahead and you take a pipe and you attach it to the ground, it's not considered mechubur l'karka, and if water runs through it, it will invalidate the mikvah. So why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that if you take the baker's board and attach it to your home, then it's no longer mechubur tumah, which sounds like if you attach the kli to the ground, it becomes like the karka itself, to which the Gemara answers, because by the baker's board, it's only dealing with tumah d'rabbanan. So by tumah d'rabbanan, it's enough if you build it into the home, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say it's no longer mechubur tumah, it's no longer a kli, it's like karka. To which the Gemara says, so you're making it sound like that the psul by the brisa of mikvah is a psul daraisa. But in fact, the case of the brisa rabosai is only talking about a case of where mayim shu'uvin would be problematic on a rabbinic level. If that's the case that you're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer is mekel on a rabbinic level, then what? Then what? Then even if you take the pipe and you attach it to the ground, that should be considered mechubur l'karka. And what? And what? In Shinana Valdei to Mikvah. Back to Amadeis. Vod, furthermore, Ham Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Bedaf Shal Mateches Machlokes. Furthermore, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina understood that the Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim was in fact regarding a metal baker's board, not about a wooden baker's board. Rabosai, if you understand metal, once you introduce metal into this equation, then what? Everything changes. Because remember, Rabosai, metal is mekabel tumah d'oraisa, right? Unlike pshutei kli'eitz, unlike flat wooden utensils, which are only mekabel tumah d'rabanan, metal is mekabel tumah mid'oraisa. Well, if that's the case, Rabosai, then what you have over here is what? You have Rabbi Eliezer saying that even once you take a metal utensil and build it into the wall of the home, it is considered to be mechubur l'karka, and therefore what? Rabosai, once you affix a kli to the ground, it is mechubur l'karka. If that's the case, then there is no way to set up the brisa by mikvah in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. So what's happening over here? To which the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. Li'olam rabbanan hi. We'll say you are right. Rather, you have to say that the brisa reflects the view of the Rabbanan. So we'll say, it says the Gemara, v'shayni she'iva d'Rabbanan. And ultimately, again, the case, so take a look at what we'll say at the Rashbam. Eli olam Rabbanan didafu. And we'll say, you have to say like this. You have to say that the brisa by mikvah reflects the view of the Rabbanan in the case of the baker's board. What was what we call the daf? What was the sheet of the Rabbanan by the daf? We'll say the Rabbanan hold that if you took that daf and you built it into your home, or you built it into the wall, what's the halacha? The halacha is it still retains its identity as a kli, and therefore is mekabel tumah. Therefore, again, their view is reflected in the breisa by mikvah. Therefore, if you fashion the pipe into a kli and affixed that pipe to the ground, the pipe still retains its identity as a kli, and therefore will invalidate the mikvah. V'shayni she'iva d'rabbanan. And we'll say, I'm sorry, let's first finish the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, U'dekashu l'cha gabei tzinor, apilu kavu u'lubasov chakaku, nami yipasal ha-mikvah, tap Rashbam ha-samech vavam ha-deis, l'rabbanan d'metamilei gabei daf, v'chashivi lei kli b'chol inyonim, apilu b'kavu u'lubasov chakaku, shayni she'iva d'rabbanan. So we'll say, listen to this. To which the Gemara answers, well, according to the Rabbanan Rabosai, both cases should be invalid. Whether you attach an already created pipe to the ground, or whether you go ahead and what? Whether you attach the unfinished piece of wood and carve it out, both should be pasul. To which the Gemara says, you're right, except the fact that this psul mayim shubin is only d'Rabbanan, and therefore, because it's d'Rabbanan, it will be more mekel. So we'll say, how does the kula manifest itself? The kula manifests itself in the following way. Therefore, according to the Rabbanan, we'll say, if you have a tzinger, if you have a pipe that is already a kli, and you attach it to the ground, the act of attaching it to the ground does not make it karka. The act of attaching it to the ground still allows it to retain its identity as a kli, and therefore, if the water runs through it, it will invalidate the water for the mikvah as mayim shuvin. However, if you take the unprocessed piece of material, like wood, and you attach that to the ground, and you hollow it out into a pipe while it's already attached to the ground, then the Rabbanan will say, okay, in that case, it's fine. Even though normally the Rabbanan will say that's still called the kli, but because the psul of mayim shuvin that we're dealing with is only a psul de Rabbanan, therefore we'll like to be makel in this case, where you've attached it first and made it into a kli while it was already attached. Ihaki, if that's the case, afilu chakaku lebasof kavu. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Ihaki, if that's the case, afilu chakaku ulebasof kavu. We'll say, if that's the case, then I don't understand. Even in a situation where you made it into a pipe and you attached it to the ground, it should also be okay. Why? Because if you're telling me that we're dealing that the psul ma'im shuvin over here is a psul d'rabbanon, so I be machmir. In other words, that just go ahead and let the mikvah be kosher in that case as well. To which the Gemara says, no. Shiny awesome, the ika toras kli alav betalush. We'll say that's different. Because since already, again, this pipe is mamash akeli, right? Before it's attached to the ground, it's mamash akli, so we can't be that mikol. In that case, when you attach it to the ground, it still retains its identity as a kli. So we'll say, the way we end off ultimately, again, in this particular case, and this you should know, this indeed is halacha lemaisa. It's not that I'm a baser shulchan paskins, that if you have a pipe that was fashioned as a pipe, well, I should say, this is how the Gemara paskins in this particular case of shu'uvin. Can't necessarily apply to all the mikvos, but for our purposes today, if you took the pipe and you made it into a pipe and then attached it to the ground, it still retains its identity as a pipe, and therefore what? Will invalidate the mikvah, because the water that goes through will be mayim shuvin. Masha'inkin, if you attach the raw material to the ground, hollow out the raw material and make it into a pipe like that, that's considered to be like karka, and will not invalidate the mikvah through mayim shuvin. Now we'll say, now remember, all of that, that's by mikvah. Now understand, in the other cases, it is clear that we are accepting the view of Rabbi Eliezer. That's what? Kala mechuber lekarka, ki karka dami. That sheet comes up over and over and over again. So let's go weiter. So, boy mine, boy Rabbi Yosef, boy Rabbi Yosef is the following kasha. Make yishamim, she chashav aleim lahadiach esa itzhtribulin mahu l'zhab. So let's listen to this. A little bit of background here. The halacha is that in order for an item, in order for, let's say, a food item to be makabel tuma, it has to be hukshar. It has to also say receptive. How does an object become receptive to be makabel tuma? It comes in contact with liquid. But that's only if, see, the classic case is where you want the object to get wet. But the truth is, to take it a step further, even if you don't want the object to get wet, but you wanted the liquid that is coming about, so that'll also be makshir the item. So for example, I'll give this example of this. Let's say it's raining, and you want your car to get washed. Right? You're excited because your car is going to get washed. And then the water from the car spritzes onto your produce. So we'll say that will be makshir the produce lekabel tuma. Why? Because you had das that you wanted that water. So in other words, even if I don't want the water to get the produce wet, but I want the water, that water has the ability to be makshir the produce to make it tameh. So Gemara is going to do a very interesting question. What happens if I want the water, but I want the water for something that is mechuber lekarka? So does that go ahead and does that water then allow my produce to become receptive, to become hukshul tuma? Now I will say, so understand something. The reason why this is a kasha is because when, let's say, water comes on something, when water comes on crops that are mechuber lekarka, does it make them hukshul lekabel tuma? Of course, the answer to that is no. Because if the answer to that is yes, then what? Then everything's tame. Because also, remember again, by definition, every crop requires rain. So that would mean that every single crop, by definition, is hokshel kabel tuma. Which was, you understand what that would create? What that would create is a situation where your workers, before they went into the field, might have to go to the mikvah, you know, ready them. So it creates an impossible situation. But so Shiloh over here is, what happens if you want the rainwater for something that is mechuber lekarka? Is that able to be machshir the produce as well? To which the Gemara says, so we'll say, the example the Gemara gives is the itzhtribulin. So remember, we said the itzhtribulin in the Mishnah. The itzhtribulin is the ring around the mill. The ring around the mill. So says the Gemara the following. So by what happens if I want the water to clean the ring around the mill? So, and that water then splashes on the produce. Does that make the produce hukshul lekabel tuma? Aliba d'Rabbi Eliezer, d'amar kol mechuber lekarka, reka karka lo tibay lo. So it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that anything attached to the ground is like the ground, that it's not a kasha. Why? Because the itzhtribulin, both say that ring is attached to the ground. Therefore, it's considered to be like karka. Therefore, any water that comes down for the sake of servicing something that is karka doesn't have the ability to what? To be makshir the produce the kabel tuma. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's an easy one that of course it is not makshir the kabel tuma. Kiti bayilcha, when does the kasha come up? Aliba d'Rabbanan. We'll say it comes up according to the Rabbanan, because what did the Rabbanan hold? The Amri. they hold inuki karka. Both say the Rabbanon will hold that it's tribulin, even though they are attached to the ground, is not considered karka. So the immovable object. If that's the case, when the rain comes onto it, then it spritzes onto the produce, does it have the ability to make the produce social kabatoma? To which the Gemara answers, teku. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha, we don't know. Shalach le'Rav Nechemiah b'Reid Rav Yosef l'Rabba b'Reid Rav Huna zuti l'Nardo. Well, so listen to this. Rav Nechemiah, the son of Rav Yosef, sent to Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, Rav Huna zuti l'Nardo. Ki asya hach isasal l'kamach. When a certain girl comes before you. Now, we'll say they're talking about a girl over here who was going to get married, and her father had passed away. So what happens? We'll say, remember from our Kiddushin, actually from our Ksuvis days, that halacha is that the estate must go ahead and provide for her dowry. So top of Samach Zayin. Agba Eastern Chose, Afilo Me'itzchabuli Derechayim. So we'll say, so the halacha is the following. It's actually very interesting. I'll just say this quickly because of time. The halacha is when figuring out how much of the estate to go ahead and take for her dowry, what we look at is how much would her father have given her had he been alive. And we'll say, now obviously, that requires someone who knows the father. That requires some type of established giving patterns. So if we could establish how much the father would have given to his daughter if he were alive, then enochinami, we would give her that amount from the estate. In the event that we do not know how much he would have given, we give her 1/10 of the estate for her dowry. That's talocha. So therefore, again, Rav Nechemiah is saying to Rav Huna, when this girl, apparently, again, there was a situation, this girl is going to come before you, her father died, make sure to give her 1/10 of the estate. And when we speak about the estate, that includes even the ring around the mill. So we'll say, so what's the chap with including the ring around the mill? What is Rav Nechemiah highlighting over here? He's highlighting that what? It's karka. It's karka. That's considered to be karka as well, right? That again, she gets from the estate. The estate refers to the karka of the estate. And therefore, again, that ring around the mill is also considered to be part of the estate. So I'll say, once they got into this discussion, Amar Rav Ashi, Ki Avinu Rav Kahana, when I was in the home of Rav Kahana, he taught me, Makbinan Afila Me'alma Debati. That Rav say, for dowry purposes, we would go ahead and even give her rents due to her from her father's property. In other words, let's say the father has rental properties. We'll say, so you even go ahead and what? We would even go ahead and give her from the rents that are due as part of her dowry. Now, there's a whole discussion over here. Tosas has a whole discussion in Alma Debati as to when exactly, what rents are we talking about? So Tosas brings down, if we're talking about rents that are already due, so then Lemais, again, he holds that those have the status of metaltalin. If they're metaltalin, if they're movable property, then they are not encumbered by dowry. So Tosas, interestingly enough, says that it's talking about a situation where the homes are rented out for the year. Rent is due at the end of the year. That was the nature of this rental agreement. So monies, this is actually fascinating. We don't have time to get into it now. But monies that will become due have the status of karka. Monies that are already due, and obviously money that has been collected, have the status of metaltalin, over which the girl would have no rights for dowry. But monies that will become due have the status ultimately again of karka, and therefore ultimately could be encumbered or could be put towards the girl's dowry. So again, if we know what her father would have given her, we give her that amount. If we don't know what her father would have given her, we give her 1/10. The chiddush over here is that she even gets to collect either from the itzchabuli, from the mill ring, which is, because it's mechubar lekarka, is considered like karka, or from the rents that will become due in the future, they're considered like karka. So I will say, bottom line, the way we close out this sugya is, we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore again, call a mechubar lekarka, kikarka dummy, anything that is attached to the ground is considered to be part of the ground, and therefore again, at least for home sale purposes, when you sell someone your home, anything that is mechubar ultimately again will be included in the sale as well, obviously with certain qualifications. But again, lest we think that we could apply this concept to every case, you see it's not necessarily true, because you see there are exceptions to this rule. Mikvah may be an exception to the rule. The baker's board may be an exception to the rule. But again, b'derech klal, we will pass in the kol mechubar lekarka, kikarka dami. Shkoyach.